Chapter 154. He could not stir hand or foot. Perhaps, my friend, philosopher, man of virtue, imbecile, what you will, perhaps, apostrophe said Rigaud, pausing in his drink, to look out of his glass with his horrible smile, you would have done better to leave me alone? Apostrophe apostrophe, no. At least, apostrophe said Clennam, you are known to be alive and unarmed. At least you cannot escape from these two witnesses, and they can produce you before any public authorities, or before hundreds of people. Apostrophe apostrophe, but will not produce me before one, apostrophe said Rigaud, snapping his fingers again with an air of triumphant menace. To the devil with your witnesses. To the devil with your produced. To the devil with yourself. What? Do I know what I know, for that? Have I my commodity on sale, for that? Bah, poor debtor. You have interrupted my little project. Let it pass. How then? What remains? To you, nothing. To me, all. Produce me. Is that what you want? I will produce myself, only too quickly. Contrabandist. Give me pen, ink, and paper. Apostrophe, Cavaletto got up again as before, and laid them before him in his former manner. Rigaud, after some villainous thinking and smiling, wrote, and read aloud, as follows. To Mrs. Clennam. Wait answer. Prison of the Marshalsea. At the apartment of your son. Dear madam, I am in despair, to be informed today by our prisoner here who has had the goodness to employ spies to seek me, living for politic reasons in retirement, that you have had fears for my safety. Reassure yourself, dear madam. I am well, I am strong and constant. With the greatest impatience I should fly to your house, but that I foresee it to be possible, under the circumstances, that you will not yet have quite definitively arranged the little proposition I have had the honor to submit to you. I name 1 week from this day, for a last final visit on my part, when you will unconditionally accept it or reject it, with its train of consequences. I suppress my ardor to embrace you and achieve this interesting business, in order that you may have leisure to adjust its details to our perfect mutual satisfaction. In the meanwhile, it is not too much to propose, our prisoner having deranged my housekeeping, that my expenses of lodging and nourishment at an hotel shall be paid by you. Receive, dear madam, the assurance of my highest and most distinguished consideration. Rigaud Blandois. 1,000 friendships to that dear Flintwinch. I kiss the hands of Madame F. Apostrophe. When he had finished this epistle, Rigaud folded it, and tossed it with a flourish at Clennam's feet. Holy you! Apropos of producing, let somebody produce that at its address, and produce the answer here. Apostrophe, Cavaletto, apostrophe said Arthur. Will you take this fellow's letter? Apostrophe, but, Cavaletto's significant finger again expressing that his post was at the door, to keep watch over Rigaud, now he had found him with so much trouble, and that the duty of his post was to sit on the floor backed up by the door, looking at Rigaud and holding his own ankles, Signor Panko once more volunteered. His services being accepted, Cavaletto suffered the door to open barely wide enough to admit of his squeezing himself out, and immediately shut it on him. Touch me with a finger, touch me with an epithet, question my superiority as I sit here drinking my wine at my pleasure, apostrophe said Rigaud, and I follow the letter and cancel my week's grace. You wanted me? You have got me. How do you like me? Apostrophe, you know, apostrophe returned Clennam, with a bitter sense of his helplessness, that when I sought you, I was not a prisoner. Apostrophe, to the devil with you and your prison, apostrophe retorted Rigaud, leisurely, as he took from his pocket a case containing the materials for making cigarettes, and employed his facile hands in folding a few for present use. I care for neither of you. Contrabandist. A light. Apostrophe, again Cavaletto got up, and gave him what he wanted. There had been something dreadful in the noiseless skill of his cold, white hands, with the fingers lithely twisting about, and twining one over another like serpents. Clennam could not prevent himself from shuddering inwardly, as if he had been looking on at a nest of those creatures. Hola, pig! ' cried Rigaud, with a noisy stimulating cry, as if Cavalletto were an Italian horse or mule. What? The infernal old jail was a respectable one to this. There was dignity in the bars and stones of that place. It was a prison for men. But this? Bah! A hospital for imbeciles. He smoked his cigarette out, with his ugly smile so fixed upon his face, that he looked as though he were smoking with his drooping beak of a nose, rather than with his mouth, like a fancy in a weird picture. When he had lighted a second cigarette at the still burning end of the first, he said to Clennam, "One must pass the time in the madman's absence. One must talk. One can't drink strong wine all day long, or I would have another bottle. She's handsome, sir. Though not exactly to my taste, still, by the thunder and the lightning, handsome. I felicitate you on your admiration." I neither know nor ask, said Clennam, "of whom you speak." Della Bella Goanna, sir, as they say in Italy. Of the Gowan, the fair Gowan. Of whose husband you were the follower, I think? Sir? Follower? You are insolent. The friend. Do you sell all your friends? Rigaud took his cigarette from his mouth, and eyed him with a momentary revelation of surprise. But he put it between his lips again, as he answered with coolness. I sell anything that commands a price. How do your lawyers live, your politicians, your intriguers, your men of the exchange? How do you live? How do you come here? Have you sold no friend? Lady of mine. I rather think, yes. Clennam turned away from him towards the window, and sat looking out at the wall. Effectively, sir, said Rigaud, society sells itself and sells me. And I sell society. I perceive you have acquaintance with another lady. Also handsome. A strong spirit. Let us see. How do they call her? Wade. He received no answer, but could easily discern that he had hit the mark. Yes, he went on, that handsome lady and strong spirit addresses me in the street, and I am not insensible. I respond. That handsome lady and strong spirit does me the favor to remark, in full confidence, I have my curiosity, and I have my chagrins. You are not more than ordinarily honorable, perhaps? I announce myself, madam, a gentleman from the birth, and a gentleman to the death, but not more than ordinarily honorable. I despise such a weak fantasy. Thereupon she is pleased to compliment. The difference between you and the rest is, she answers, that you say so. For she knows society. I accept her congratulations with gallantry and politeness. Politeness and little gallantries are inseparable from my character. She then makes a proposition, which is, in effect, that she has seen us much together, that it appears to her that I am for the passing time the cat of the house, the friend of the family, that her curiosity and her chagrins awaken the fancy, to be acquainted with their movements, to know the manner of their life, how the fair Goanna is beloved, how the fair Goanna is cherished, and so on. She is not rich, but offers such and such little recompenses for the little cares and arrangements of such services, and I graciously to do everything graciously is a part of my character consent to accept them. Oh yes. So goes the world. It is the mode. Though Clennam's back was turned while he spoke, and thenceforth to the end of the interview, he kept those glittering eyes of his that were too near together, upon him, and evidently saw in the very carriage of the head, as he passed with his braggart recklessness from clause to clause of what he said, that he was saying nothing which Clennam did not already know. Woof! The fair Goanna! apostrophe he said, lighting a third cigarette with a sound as if his lightest breath could blow her away. Charming, but imprudent. For it was not well of the fair Goanna to make mysteries of letters from old lovers, in her bedchamber on the mountain, that her husband might not see them. No, no. That was not well. Woof. The Goanna was mistaken there. Apostrophe, I earnestly hope, apostrophe, cried Arthur aloud, that Pancks may not be long gone, for this man's presence pollutes the room. Apostrophe, ah. But he'll flourish here, and everywhere, apostrophe, said Rigaud, with an exulting look and snap of his fingers. He always has. He always will. Apostrophe, apostrophe, stretching his body out on the only three chairs, in the room besides that on which Clennam sat, he sang, smiting himself on the breast as the gallant personage of the song. Who passes by this road so late? Compagnon de la Magellan. Who passes by this road so late? Always gay. Sing the refrain, pig. You could sing it once, in another jail. Sing it. Or, by every saint who was stoned to death, I'll be affronted and compromising. And then some people who are not dead yet, had better have been stoned along with them. Apostrophe, apostrophe, of all the king's knights tis the flower, Compagnon de la Magellan. Of all the king's knights tis the flower, always gay. Apostrophe, apostrophe, partly in his old habit of submission, partly because his not doing it might injure his benefactor, and partly because he would as soon do it as anything else, Cavaletto took up the refrain this time. Rigaud laughed, and fell to smoking with his eyes shut. Possibly another quarter of an hour lapsed before Mr. Pank's step was heard upon the stairs, but the interval seemed to Clennam insupportably long. His step was attended by another step, and when Cavaletto opened the door, he admitted Mr. Pank's and Mr. Flintwinch. The latter was no sooner visible than Rigaud rushed at him and embraced him boisterously. How do you find yourself, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Flintwinch, as soon as he could disengage himself, which he struggled to do with very little ceremony. Thank you, no, I don't want any more. Apostrophe, this was in reference to another menace of attention from his recovered friend. Well, Arthur, you remember what I said to you about sleeping dogs and missing ones. It's come true, you see. Apostrophe, he was as imperturbable as ever, to all appearance, and nodded his head in a moralizing way as he looked round the room. And this is the Marshalsea prison for debt. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Flintwinch. Ha, you have brought your pigs to a very indifferent market, Arthur. Apostrophe, if Arthur had patience, Rigaud had not. He took his little Flintwinch, with fierce playfulness, by the two lapels of his coat, and cried, to the devil with the market, to the devil with the pigs, and to the devil with the pig driver. Now, give me the answer to my letter. Apostrophe, if you can make it convenient to let go a moment, sir, apostrophe, returned Mr. Flintwinch, I'll first hand Mr. Arthur a little note that I have for him. Apostrophe, he did so. It was in his mother's maimed writing, on a slip of paper, and contained only these words. I hope it is enough, that you have ruined yourself. Rest contented without more ruin. Jeremiah Flintwinch is my messenger and representative. Your affectionate M. C. Apostrophe, Clennam read this twice, in silence, and then tore it to pieces. Rigaud in the meanwhile stepped into a chair, and sat himself on the back with his feet upon the seat. Now, Beau Flintwinch, apostrophe, he said, when he had closely watched the note to its destruction, the answer to my letter? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mrs. Clennam did not write, Mr. Blandois, her hands being cramped, and she thinking it as well, to send it verbally by me. Apostrophe, Mr. Flintwinch screwed this out of himself, unwillingly and rustily. She sends her compliments, and says she doesn't on the whole wish to term you unreasonable, and that she agrees. But without prejudicing the appointment that stands for this day week. Apostrophe, Monsieur Rigaud, after indulging in a fit of laughter, descended from his throne, saying, good. I go to seek an hotel. Apostrophe, but there is eyes encountered Cavaletto, who was still at his post. Come, pig, apostrophe he added, I have had you for a follower against my will, now, I'll have you against yours. I tell you, my little reptiles, I am born to be served. I demand the service of this contrabandist as my domestic until this day week. Apostrophe, in answer to Cavaletto's look of inquiry, Clennam made him a sign to go, but he added aloud, unless you are afraid of him. Apostrophe Cavaletto replied with a very emphatic finger negative. No, master, I am not afraid of him, when I no more keep it secret mentally, that he was once my comrade. Apostrophe Rigaud took no notice of either remark until he had lighted his last cigarette, and was quite ready for walking. Afraid of him, apostrophe he said then, looking round upon them all. Woof! My children, my babies, my little dolls, you are all afraid of him. You give him his bottle of wine here, you give him meat, drink, and lodging there, you dare not touch him with a Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.